so this morning, y'all, we're going to complete our sermon series, I Love My Church. I Love My Church. And so here we are celebrating the month of February, y'all. It is what they call the love month, chick-a-boom. You know, it's where husbands and wives express their love to one another, where children and parents express their love. We express our love to those that we love and we care about. I went to pick up my granddaughter at school the other day, and she came home with the little cards and stuff that other kids in the classroom gave to her. I said, which one of them boys in the classroom gave you this card? They express their love to each other, even as children. They express it through cards, through words, through gifts, through flowers, through chocolate. So maybe some chocolate diamonds. It's, you know, so we find these ways to express our love to one another. It's February, it's Valentine's Day, but we ought to love each other each and every day. And here's the thing. My hope is that we would love the church that we are a part of. Every church I've ever been a part of, I love the church. I love coming to church. I love being around church people. Because loving the church, it really means loving people. God loved the church that was come before he died. He loved the church so much he gave his life for it. He sacrificed his life for you and for me. And certainly we ought to love one another. And we're to love people outside the walls of the church as well. We love programs. No, programs are okay. You know, we love ministry schedules. And no, we're to love one another. We are to love people. The question at heart, do you love the church? Do you love people? Do you love coming to church? Let me ask you that. Do you love coming? Is coming to church more like, I got to go to the dentist, so I got to go. I got to go to the DMV. I got to get the title and the registration, you know. I got to go to the doctor's office. Do we get this idea? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So the Bible says, God said, I got to go to church. But is it heartfelt? Do you love the church that you are a part of? So in previous weeks, we talked about loving the church. How? Intentionally loving the church. By love, by serving. It was mentioned already that God has given each of us at least one spiritual gift. And you're to use that gift for the people of God at the church, in the church, that your gift is for me, my gift is for you. We ought to love by serving. So ask yourself the question this morning, how am I serving my church that I say I intentionally love? We also talked about love by connecting. That when Jesus died for us, we read the Bible in the New Testament, that veil in the temple was torn in two. And it symbolized our way to God. That when Jesus died, the precious Lamb of God, he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. He made a way for you and me to get to God the Father. We don't need a high priest. That we can go to God for ourselves. The veil, the barrier was gone. Yeah, yeah. And so that means when it comes to the people of God, there should be no barriers between us. That there should be no fences between us. That the front yard of the house looks real pristine and pretty. The hedge is a trim, but the backyard where we really live, where our life really is, where the barbecue pit is, where we put on the boom box, where the clothesline is, where the old lawnmowers used to be in the yard. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Basketball, got dust and dirt on the ground, y'all, vines growing on the fence. That's the real life. How many of us still have fences? See the front yard, it's pretty, it looks good, but you can't come back here. If we're really going to connect as a church, we need to show people the backyard as well. So this month, y'all, this Sunday, turn with me to Acts chapter 4. We're going to read verses 32 through 35. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Amen. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. This is our final download on this sermon. Acts chapter 4, y'all, verses 32 through 35. I love this text, y'all. I need y'all to use your spiritual imagination. Think about this church at the time. Think about what's being said. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they wasn't nobody arguing and bickering with each other. You didn't wear the right color. I don't like them choir robes. The temperature wasn't right in the sanctuary. All the believers were united in heart and mind. They felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. Can I take a ride in a Range Rover? I looked at somebody. They smiled back. There was a yes, I guess. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them. I love this. There were no needy people among them because what? Those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles and to give to those in need. So in this final sermon, I want to encourage our hearts from the thought, love by sharing. Love by sharing. I love that text along with Acts chapter 2. Starting at verse 42 through 47, that those two kind of marry together, but it talks about the church and what was going on in that first church. But let me start with something real. Have you ever loved something, but Brother JC, you didn't want to share it? Real story, real truth. Wife and I went to a local restaurant some months ago. Had a great meal, and we do what we always do when we go out to have these meals. You know, they give you large portions, and by the time your meal actually gets there, you know, if you had enough bread and some water or some salad or some appetizers, that you take a couple of bites of the food, okay, box it up. It's time for it to go home. But the restaurant attendant, she asked us, she said, would you like some dessert? And so we got this stuff boxed up, ready to go. But of course, yours truth, some dessert? Okay. So we're going to take some dessert with us. And so I ordered chocolate cake. When I say this, you may know the rest of what I'm talking about. Chocolate stampede cake. This is cake, y'all. This is chocolate cake above chocolate cake. It's got chocolate mousse on it. It's got the chocolate cake. It's got chocolate shavings, y'all. I love this. I have an affinity. I have a love for this cake. It's just delicious. So the wife said, listen, I don't want any cake. I don't want any. So rather than ordering the big whole piece that they give you, she said, just get a half a portion. So we get half a portion. Y'all, we get home, we put the food up, the cake is in the refrigerator. So I'm going to eat it later. Sitting in the living room, y'all, television is on, and I hear the footsteps going to the kitchen. Minister Teresa, the refrigerator door opens up, and I hear hands clench onto to my cake. I know it's my cake. I can hear that's my cake in her hand. That's mine. And sister girl comes to sit down in the living room with my cake in her hand and begins to eat the cake. I couldn't watch television. My it was just gone, y'all. Yeah, that was my cake. But y'all know what I'm talking about. You sitting at the restaurant and you eating your favorite dish. Maybe it's the coconut shrimp. I don't know. Maybe it's a good steak. And somebody leans in on your plate to take something off your plate. Wait a minute. That's mine. That I love what's on my plate, eat what's on your plate. This is mine. How about your cell phone right now? Your cell phone was sitting right next to you. Somebody grabbed, can I make a call? You probably have a heart attack. Don't touch, that's my phone. How about this? You walk into church a little bit late one Sunday. Sister Karen, you look around, somebody's sitting in your seat. They sitting in, that's my seat. You can't worship, you can't sing, you can't, because you in my seat. So how many of us, when it comes to sharing what we have an affinity for, we have a love for, we don't want to share it because we think it's solely ours, and so we can get a little bit sour, y'all. It gets tense. No, you know what I'm saying? This is my house. Look, this is my car, my money, it's my time. This is for me. If you want yours, get your own, but this is mine. So the tension for this morning, we say we love our church, it's my church, but if we're really going to say that, we need to prove it by sharing. That's what the church in the text does. So the message is simple. If I say I love my church, I'm going to show it by sharing. So love, y'all. Love is more than just this emotional thing. Love is not just verbal. We don't just speak it and say it. Then love has to be visible. If I say I love you, then I ought to show you in tangible ways. I ought to do something. Love is an action word. Yeah. So say with me this morning, love that doesn't share is love that doesn't show. I didn't hear it too good in this area right here. Say it again. Love that doesn't share is love that doesn't show. So if you are a part of Living Faith Community Church and you say you love your church, how does it show? If you say, this is my church, come to my church, what are you doing in your church? How are you sharing in your church, the church that you say you love? If we say we love our church, we ought to share our resources, share our time, share our compassion, and our responsibility in helping one another. The church, y'all, the church in the text, the church in Acts chapter 4, it's not a perfect church. It's not a preference-driven church. I got to have it my way. The church didn't have a long history. It's a young church. It is, in fact, the first church in the Bible, but it's a persecuted church. But most of all, it is a spirit-filled church. When you read the book of Acts and how it starts out and how the Holy Spirit falls and how the gospel is preached and how many people come to Jesus, some 3,000 souls saved in one, that's the spirit. So this first church is a spirit-filled church. And this church, in my mind, it becomes the model, the symbol of what every church should, in a way, look like in America and around the rest of the world. That it, I wouldn't say it is, it's a description, not a prescription of how you have to do it, but I believe it's a model, it's a symbol of how we ought to handle ourselves and carry ourselves as a church today. Look, they didn't just shout about resurrection power, they lived resurrection power and generosity. They shared with one another. They took all that they had, y'all. Yeah, whatever was needed, y'all, they brought it to the apostles' feet, y'all, and they shared what they had. What are you sharing today? So I think there are a few things we can get from this text, we can learn from this text this morning to help us. And I have to put a finger there because this is what I believe about this ministry, but it's what I believe about Living Faith Community Church, that we are a very loving, a very caring, in a very sharing church. Don't get it twisted. I know that. I know this to be true. I've seen it too many times. I look around, too many people around this room right now are loving and caring, and they share whatever they have. But maybe we can do a little bit better. Collectively, maybe we can do it a little bit better. So let me share these few things, y'all, and we're going to be out of here to our next assignment. Listen, a sharing church is united in heart. 4 verse 32a, all the believers were united in heart and mind. They were united. This was not forced unity. So forced unity looks like, you know, when the kids are in the back seat of the car and you're trying to drive and they arguing with one another, you tell them, shut up, y'all better get along back there. And they get quiet and they, okay, and they play well together. It wasn't like that. It was not forced unity. This was not uniformity, like in the military where everybody has to have the same uniform on. They were the same hat, the same combat. This was not that kind of uniformity. This was not uniformity. This was spirit-formed unity. That don't get it twisted in the text. Yeah, they were generous. They were giving, but it was under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit that was guiding them to give. Y'all, they didn't have the same background. They didn't have the same income. They didn't have the same personality, but they had the same heart. They had the same mission. They served the same Lord, and they operated under the power of the same Holy Spirit. Psalm 133, verse 1 says this: how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity or in harmony. When I say brothers, I mean brothers and sisters. I mean the church. Because I believe Psalm 133, it celebrates the beauty and harmony of the divine blessings of what happens when we operate in unity, when we work together as a church. So some of y'all know what it feels like to be a part of a fellowship where people aren't operating together in unity. That more than harmony, it looks like Hades. You've been there before, so you've been there before. But when the Spirit of God is leading us and guiding us, and we're all under the same page, miraculous things can happen in the house of God and through God's people. Yeah. Think about 100 pianos, y'all, all tuned to the same tuning fork. those 100 pianos will inherently be tuned to one another. Oh, my God. What happens when all believers in the church are tuned to the same instrument? And that instrument is the power of the Holy Spirit. What can happen in the body of Christ when we're all tuned together, working together under the Holy Spirit's unction and power? This was a sharing church, a giving church. So the only way to be unified is that the body is focused on going where the Spirit is going. Everyone must have a God perspective, a God mentality driven and guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. It will govern our thinking. It will govern our actions as a church. So when we come together in love, and it shows up by the way we share, by the way we give, by the way we care, but it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, under his power. Know this, unity fuels generosity. You can write that one down. Unity fuels generosity. When we come together collectively under the power of the Spirit, it fuels generosity and caring and love, where division drives up generosity. We can't compete against one another. Yeah. Competition will kill the body. That we work together and we share and we care and we love together. When our hearts are united, our hands open naturally. Did you hear what I said? When our hearts are united by the power of the Spirit, our hands open naturally. We give. A divided church, y'all, they'll argue over money all day long. But a united church will ask, how can we give? How much more can we give? How much more can we do? So if we're going to be a church of love by sharing it, it starts with unity and not stuff. In addition to that, a sharing church has a unique view of ownership. I love this in the text. 32b, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. It wasn't theirs. They had the right mentality. They knew that God owned it. We manage it. God owns it. We manage it. God owns it. So this is not communism. This is not this social order where you got to take everything you have and give it. You have nothing, and so you got to come begging if you want. That's not what the picture is. It's a picture of people that are led by God. That they're so glad about what God did for them that they want to do for others. They understood something foundational again, though, that God owns it, so we just simply manage it. So how many of y'all know small children? The first words that come out of their mouth when they can talk. The first one is no. No everything. No, no. They learn it fast. Then, brothers and sisters, mine. That mine. My sippy cup, my blanket, my toy. I said my grandson Luca was at the house the other day, and he had my iPad. He was playing on the iPad, y'all. Man, these iPads, take them away. I mean, he's just stuck on the iPad. Luca, he's stuck on the iPad. So I snatched the iPad out of his hand. He snatched back, no, mine. And Papa snatched back, no, mine. And Luca went home crying. It's interesting how quickly children develop this sense of personal possession of things that they have. It's a self-centered view. But I found out something. It's not just what small children do. It's not just their way of thinking. How many grown people really believe, and they say it, it's my life. Do with it what I want to do. It's my money. I can do what I want to do with it. This is my house. I don't have to welcome anybody here. Y'all, for real, I share with a brother we met some time ago, said to him, my house is I'm the king of my house. This is my castle. This is my home, and I'll take you out to eat anywhere. You can go where we can go and eat, but you don't come to my house because this is my castle. I'm thinking, wow, are you serious? But do you know who gave you that house? Do you know who could take that house away? So invite me to your house. I'll invite you to mine. It all belongs to God. But we have this mentality and this thought, this is mine. I can do what I want to do. You know, my children, my stuff, mine. But guess what? Psalm 24 says this: the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The cattle on the thousand hills belong to God. You belong to God. I belong to God. Mack trucks belong to God. Big Macs belong to God. The playhouse belongs to God. The penthouse belongs to God. The Mercedes belongs to God. The Range Rover belongs to God. The Hoopty belongs to God. The president belongs to God. The prime minister belongs to God. It all belongs to God. Every molecule, every form of matter, everything in the universe was created by God Almighty. It all belongs to him, but God is calling us to be wise stewards over that which he's entrusted to us. Yes. So this early church has this unique view of ownership, not mine, but it belongs to God. But they ask for a church. They're not saying, look, I earned it. Oh, it's mine. Can anybody tell me what to do with what I got? Listen, they had this mentality. If God gave it, God can use it. When God owns it, sharing becomes easier. When I have this mentality, this mindset, whatever I have, it belongs to God. And so all those clothes I got in the closet that, you know, they shrunk. They shrunk, y'all. And I haven't worn them in three to 5 years, you know. Dr. Tay, it's mine. But if I got the mindset that God gave me this belong, I can go in the closet, take some stuff out, and take it down to the Goodwill or the whatever, or find somebody that needs it. Because I know ain't nobody in here got clothes in the closet right now that they shrunk. I know they shrunk. You've gotten rid of all of those clothes, and you graciously shared them and given them away, right? And the church was quiet. The problem isn't that we have too little. The problem is that we hold on to some things too tightly. But open hands invite God's blessings into our lives. Clenched fists block God's flow. A loving church will connect its heart by sharing collectively what we have. And finally, this, and we'll be out of here. A sharing church meets unquestionable needs. Verses 33 through 35. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord. Pay attention to that. The Lord Jesus and God's great blessings was upon them all. There were no needy people among them because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Catch the picture. A sharing church meets real needs, unquestioned, real needs. Again, look at verse 33. Listen, I like the natural flow of this, that the Holy Spirit comes in. The people receive the gospel. They are saved. The church is formed. The gospel is continued to preach. They hear the gospel. They hear what God did for them, that God sent Jesus to die for. He sacrificed his life for them. He gave his all in all for them. And they naturally, a natural outflow, they turn around, they start giving. The natural outflow, when you understand and truly understand what God did for you through Jesus, that he saved your life. That one day you'll spend eternity. When you understand that, what can I not give for God? What can I not give up? The very knowledge of what Jesus did for me causes my heart, under the unction and the flow and the power of the Holy Spirit, to give, to be generous. And I know it does for all of us. Verse 34 says, there were no needy people among them because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring money to the apostles to give to those in need. Can you imagine that? Reverend, I got a plot of land. You know how much money I could give for that? Let me hold on to this for the next year. How much money? And you give that up and you sell it and you take the money and you give it to the church? Why, are you kidding me? This is what they were doing. I think this concept is so important, especially in the days and the times in which we live. My hope and my prayer is that Living Faith would be that kind of first century church. That as people are losing their jobs, that people are in transition, that people have bona fide needs, that we would be that kind of church that could meet those needs. Yeah. Yeah. So they weren't trying to satisfy people's greed, but they were saying to their need. True story, y'all. I, in the military, worked what they call the Family Support Center. I was a superintendent and had control of monies from the Red Cross to help people that were in real dire need. That, you know, somebody died, we had to send them somewhere. People had financial stress or strain. And so, yeah, it would be common. People would come in and they would sit down. I'd look at them and they tell me what they needed for their rent, their mortgage, and all of that. But I'm looking at nails. These ain't no Lee Press-ons either. I'm looking at shoes and kicks and outfits. And I'm looking at jewelry hanging from the neck. And and you won't need, and you need help with your mortgage? Hello, Walls, because it's going to get quiet right now. Because I've been in church for a long time, Walls. I've been in church for a long time. You know I have. And Walls, talk to me. You know, folk will come into the church, y'all. They got a need, but they got nails everywhere. They got the shoes on. But they want the mortgage paid. Listen, I want to. The church is not responsible for one's irresponsibility in taking care of their financial needs. Okay, I just talked to y'all get some amen on this side of the house. That we are here to meet bona fide, real, unquestionable needs. Yeah. And hear me clearly on this. Listen, we have a benevolence fund, and somebody's probably saying, Pastor, why are you saying it out loud? But we do. And if there is a real need, come to us. Don't be silent. Don't suffer in silence. If you have a need, we want to meet that need if it's real. Don't be in the house and the lights are off. Don't be in the house and you don't have any food in the refrigerator, the cabinets. Yeah. That we want to meet some real needs in this ministry, and people give for that purpose. Yeah. So where there's need based on real circumstances, we're here to meet that need. But the truth is, some people come to the church, y'all. They want the benefits of the church without the burden. Yeah. They want blessings from the church without the buy-in. They want church community without church contribution. You can't love the church and starve the church at the same time. Bring what you got to the storehouse, whatever it is. Bring it and watch God bless you. So in meeting needs, y'all, we meet unquestionable needs. Love by sharing today. What does it look like? It looks like giving sometimes when it stretches you. It looks like, hey, here's the Forward by Faith campaign, and they're asking for a little bit more, because we need to meet some needs, and y'all, we dig a little deeper, and we give. It looks like serving y'all when it's inconvenient. Yeah. Do you think it's always inconvenient for this praise team every single week to show up Thursday after Thursday, drive from their homes where they're comfortable, y'all, probably put off dinner for a minute, get to the church, and they sing for an hour, hour and a half, and 2 hours, get back in their car and go home? You think that's convenient? But they do it because they love God. Yes. They do it because they love this ministry. Yes. It's inconvenient, but they do it. Caring ought to cost you something. Yes. When you say you love somebody, it ought to cost you something. Valentine's Day came and it cost you something. And retailers were real glad, weren't they? They were happy. LCC, thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you for supporting our missions, missionaries, our local ministries, communities under the bridge, all these other outreach ministries. But I tell you the truth, Brother Terrence, Sister Karen, they can tell you, we can do better. Yeah. That we can use more than the normal people we see each and every time that we have Cub or some ministry. It's the same people. I'm looking around this room. I think about the 8:30 service and the number of people. How are you serving? How are you helping? Meeting needs means no one has to do it all by themselves. Yeah. And it means that we don't have to face problems alone, that we can help each other. We can help the community together. Listen, if I got two pieces of bread, I ought to be able to give you one. Yes, sir. This first church, what I love about, they didn't ignore the need. They didn't spiritualize the need. They responded to the needs. A loving church refuses to let people suffer in silence. If you see the need, meet the need. Yeah. An amazing thing about this church, what I love about the book of Acts, every so often you keep hearing this phrase, and the church grew. That's the rhythm and the theme of the book of Acts, and the church grew. And they multiplied. Yeah. It was 3,000 that were added, and the church grew. Yeah. Even under persecution, and the church grew. Even under needs, the church grew because the people were generous. They shared what they had with one another. All the believers felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. I've told this story before of Dr. Elmer Towns. He is a co-founder of Liberty University, where I went to school. He taught a popular stewardship class titled, Who Owns Your French Fries? Tells a story of a father with a five-year-old son. The five-year-old son asked his dad, his father, for some French fries. father took his five-year-old son, put him in the car, buckled him in, went to the restaurant, and they went and they got French fries. The father even supersized the French fries for his son. They sat down in the restaurant and they began, the father, he didn't order anything, and the fries were there. So the father reaches in to grab one of the French fries and plop. The five-year-old, he slaps the father's hand. Do you get the picture on this? The boy said, mine, and slaps his daddy's hand. That the father is the source of the French fries. That the father paid for the French fries. That the father had the power to take the French fries, to give him even more. The father could get his own French fries. But the boy said, mine. I wonder how many people sit in church and God says, I want to reach into your life and I want to use you. And you pop, you slap God's hand. No, mine. Yeah, yeah. My life, my time. This belongs to me. And God wants to use you and what you have. Because everything that you have, the Father gave it to you. But will you allow him to use it for his glory? I love my church and I want to serve my church the way God wants me to serve my church and connect with my church. But are you really willing? Are you willing to do it? Lord, whatever you want, you can have it. It all belongs to you. God, every gift, it comes from you. And whatever you want, you can have it. And so, God, if you want my French fries, have as many as you want. As a matter of fact, God, if you want my life, take my life. Take my will, take my heart, God. It all belongs to you. I raise it to you. It's all for your glory, oh God. You can have it, whatever it is, whatever you want, God. You can have my time, have the talents that you give me. God, it's for you. But will you surrender it to him? Or will you say no? Mine. Let me ask you a question. Would you like a French fry? And the church said, amen. I'm going to eat those later. Just warm them up a little bit. They're going to be good. So let me close with this. So if we say we're willing to share, we're willing to serve and connect and all of that, three commitments that we need for three commitments. I will share my resources. Write that one down, church, that you're going to make. I'll share my, maybe don't have a lot of resources. That's okay. God's not measuring the amount. He measures the heart. So God, however I can share what I have, I'm willing to share that. I will share my resources. And then commit to this. I will share my time. Yeah, love shows up. Love will travel. And I'm not just saying what I'm saying just to say it, because this hit my heart too in a big way. That love shares time, that love shares resources. Had a conversation with Sister Jackie and I said, you know how we used to open the house up and folk would go, it's time to start doing that again. It's time to start sharing the love of God with our fellowship. We can't get everybody over there at the same time, but start sharing with some folk. Bring them in, y'all. Y'all, we're gonna have some greens now. We're gonna have some macaroni and cheese, but we wanna share. I'll share my resources and my time, and I'll share my care. If it matters to you, it matters to me. Yeah. That what you're going through may not be what I'm going through, but it matters to you. You dealing with it, then it becomes a problem for me too. It becomes my shared responsibility to help you. Yes. So I'll share my care as well. Bottom line is this. You say you love your church. Will you love this church by connecting? Will you love by sharing the gifting that God has given you? Will you love by serving God? Will you love by sharing what God has given to you? I don't know about y'all, but I love my church. And the church said, amen. Praise God. That's our sermon series. I hope y'all got it. I pray we did. Because I believe that God still has great things in store for this church, great things in store for this ministry. But it happens when we are collectively united together and we're determined to love each other and to serve one another, connect with one another and share with one another and share with the community. That's how it happens. That's how we grow. That's how the empty seats in here get filled. And not to be filled just to be filled, but to be filled because people are coming to a saving relationship with Jesus. And that's what the ministry is all about. That's what it's all about. Pray with me now. Father, thank you again so much for this word. Thank you for how you're operating in the life of this ministry in this season. God, our hearts are open to you. And God, we love you. We love people. We love your church, our church. It's ours, not one person. It really belongs to you, Father. The church is yours, Jesus. Help us to be wise stewards over all that you've entrusted to us in this season, in this hour. That there's still more to come. The best is yet to come. Help us every day to fall in love with our church more and more. That we're engaged, that we're involved, that we're operating according to the gifting that the Spirit has given us. And we're serving you well. We thank you and we praise you. And Father, we know that all begins with a saving relationship with Jesus. That's where it starts and where it really ends. So speak to a heart right now. If there's someone, Father, that's under the sound of my voice and in your presence today, because you are here, through the power of your Spirit, speak to that heart, that we all admit that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We believe, oh God, that we miss the target, that we don't always get it right. And we cannot get it right, but that's why you sent, Father, your son Jesus into the world to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. And we confess this Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. We believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead. And your word says it settles it. We are saved. Not perfect, we are saved. Still don't always get it right, but we are saved. So speak to a heart right now. Father, they would come to you and they receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. For those that already know Jesus as their personal Savior, speak, God, that if they're not connected to a local assembly, that they would make Living Faith Community Church their church of choice and their church home. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if there is someone here today, our ushers are standing right now. Their hands are extended. Their hands are extended. So we have a new member ministry. If you're not a part of a local church and you want to be a part of a Living Faith Community Church, their hands are extended. You can follow them across the hallway to room number one. They'll gather information. If you're still wondering about this Jesus stuff, this Jesus thing, and you need questions answered, get up from where you are. Go across the hallway. They will explain the gospel to you. They'll tell you more about this Jesus with hopes that you'll give your heart to him. Won't you come right now? Won't you come right now? Hands are extended. We don't rush this moment. Won't you come?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.